This morning we are continuing our series of lessons along the lines of being connected to Jesus. And I came across a Peanuts cartoon. I didn't actually come across the cartoon, I came across a quote from the cartoon. So I set out to try to find the cartoon. Well, I didn't find the cartoon, but I found another cartoon. And you may not be able to read this. This is Charlie Brown and Lucy, and I hope I'm not totally giving away my age here. Y'all do know who Peanuts are, right? Yeah, okay. Okay. Charlie Brown says to Lucy, "Sometimes you really astound me. I've never known anyone who was so consistently crabby." Now, guys, let me just give you a hint right here. Don't say that to a girl, okay? Husbands, don't say that to your spouses. He says, "How do you explain that?" And Lucy says, "Never change a winning game." Now, the cartoon that I was actually looking for went like this. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, "I hate everything, I hate everybody, I hate the whole wide world." Charlie Brown says, "But I thought you had inner peace." Lucy replies, "I do have inner peace, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." Outer obnoxiousness. Sometimes it's the other way around, isn't it? Sometimes we can fake it on the outside while we are in turmoil on the inside. These are the two verses that we're going to be working out of this morning. You can read them here if you prefer to open your scriptures or look on your phone or your tablet. Feel free to do that as well if you would prefer to see context. But in John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And then just a couple of chapters later, in the same setting, Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." If you've got your Bible open, you can go back to John chapter 13 to see what's going on here. Verse 1 says that it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. So that's what's occurring here. Jesus knows that the time has come. In that same chapter, chapter 13, verse 33, he says, "I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you can't come." And then Peter says a couple of verses later, "Lord, where are you going?" So this is the context of the words that we've just read. John records in chapters 13 through 17 the events and the teachings of Jesus' last night with his disciples. Jesus knew what was about to happen to him, and Jesus also knew what was going to happen to those men. He told them that he would be with them only a little while longer, and that where he was going, they couldn't come. And so in chapters 14, 15, and 16, we see the anxiety and the worry and the stress of the disciples. And Jesus summarizes all of those emotions with one single word. It's the word troubled. The word troubled. He says it in chapter 14, verse 1. He says it again in chapter 14, verse 27. "Do not let your hearts be troubled." It's a big word that encompasses a lot. In Mark 14, 33, Jesus is described as being distressed and troubled when he takes Peter, James, and John deeper into the garden for a time of prayer. John chapter 13, in the realm of Judas and his betrayal, it says that Jesus was troubled in spirit. The word troubled means to be disturbed to be upset, to be worried. And folks, many of us are troubled. Many of us are troubled. If I were to take a survey, which I'm not going to do, but if I were to take a survey, I would guess that at least half of our audience would describe themselves, if honest, as being troubled this morning. There's something that you're disturbed about. There's something that you're upset about. There's something that you're worried about. Something that's on your mind. There's something that's eating at you. There's something that's robbing you of your joy this morning. Yes, you're here, but you're just not quite all here. Many of us are troubled. Many of us are troubled over work, or maybe it's lack of work. We don't like this coworker. We don't like this job. We don't like this boss. Or maybe we can't find work. Maybe we're out of work. We're troubled. We're disturbed. We're upset. We're worried over money or lack thereof. People that have money tend to be just as worried about money as people who don't have money, because you're worried about keeping it, and you're worried about if you're spending it properly. And so a lot of us are troubled over money and financial situations. We're troubled, we're disturbed, we're upset, we're anxious, we're worried about a family member, we're worried about family difficulties, we're worried about our husband or our spouse. Maybe you're here and you're alone. Your husband or your spouse is not here with you and you wish they were. And that troubles you. Maybe you have a son or a daughter or a niece or a nephew or a grandchild that's living a life they don't need to be living, and that troubles you, that worries you, that upsets you. Maybe there are health concerns. Maybe there is sickness. Maybe your family has just recently experienced the loss of a loved one and you're troubled. Nothing wrong with being troubled, as long as it doesn't dominate our lives. Now, we can also be troubled over what we read on Facebook, what this person posted that just gets under my skin. Maybe we're troubled about the political rhetoric that we hear, which is, by the way, only going to get worse for the next month and a half or so. Maybe we're troubled over the national political climate, the decline of morality, the decline of the place of faith. Maybe we're troubled over situations that are going on in other parts of the world. We're troubled over the bombing in New York last night. We're disturbed, we're worried, we're upset about things that are going on in other parts of the world. At their root, all of our troubles come primarily from two areas. Number one, our attempts to control and or manipulate other people, situations, or circumstances to work out as we think they should. I want to leave these words up here for just a moment, and I want you to read them a few times, and I want them to sink in. Part of the root of my trouble is when I'm attempting to control or manipulate people, places, and things around me to work out how I think they ought to work out. And when that doesn't work, I become troubled. The second part of this is my inability to accept people, situations, and circumstances as they are, regardless of how I think they ought to be. So, at their root, our troubles come primarily from two areas. My attempt to control other people, situations, and circumstances to work out as I think they ought to work out, and my inability to accept people, situations, and circumstances as they are, regardless of how I think they should be. So it's on me. Well, duh. Yeah, it's on me. If I'm troubled, it's on me. We say this prayer called the Serenity Prayer. Most of you have heard it. Some of you have memorized it. Most all of us are at least vaguely familiar with it. And one of the lines in that prayer says, "Accept the things I cannot change. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change." Here's a quote I ran across this week. It says, "When I accept situations as they are, not as I wish them to be, then I can begin to grow and have serenity and peace of mind. When I accept situations as they are, not as I wish them to be, then I can begin to grow and have serenity and peace of mind." This quote's going to be very familiar to you, to some of you anyway. This is one I'd like to leave up here for a while too. I wish we could all memorize this. Maybe you would just read it with me. "Acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I cannot find serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment." There was a time not too many years ago when I could not accept what that says. No pun intended. I had a very difficult time accepting the concept of acceptance. But then at the same time, I wondered why I was always irritable and restless and discontented. Why was I always troubled? Why was I always disturbed and upset and worried? It's because I was trying to control people and situations and circumstances around me to work out how I thought they needed to work out. And I came across this quote: "Acceptance is the answer to all my problems." Okay, I'll go with you a little bit. But the next line: "When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me." Wow. "And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment." So how do I find this peace? How do I get this peace? How do I come to the point that I can accept the things that are going on around me? How do I get the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change? I'm going to give you three simple steps. Number one, I honestly admit that I am powerless to control other people, situations, and circumstances. I cannot control you. I cannot control what goes on in the world around me. I have no control over who is elected president. I have no control over what's decided in the city council meetings. I have no control over what my professors assign to me or try to make me do. I have no control over what my high school teachers do. I have no control over any of that. I'm powerless to have any control over any of that. The only thing that I have any control over are my attitudes, my outlook, my perspective, my reaction. Those are the things I control. I have no control over what you do. I do have control over my attitude about what you do, my perception of what you do. That's the only thing I can control, which comes back to me. So I'm powerless when it comes to the world of control. Number two, I acknowledge that there is a loving, benevolent God who is in control, who is in charge, and it is not me, nor you. Now, there are two words in this sentence that are very important, the word loving and the word benevolent. Charlie, we're going to do this again. And I didn't tell him I was going to do this when he got up here to do the welcome earlier. But we're going to work on this. When I say God is good, what do you say? And if I say all the time, what do you say? God is good. So God is good. All the time. Yes, do you believe that? Yes. We have a loving, benevolent God who is good. He's good. Yes, there is a side of God that we don't want to encounter and experience because God is holy. And so God doesn't like things like sin. And there is such a thing as God's wrath tied to sin. But by nature, God is good. All the time. I acknowledge that there is a loving and benevolent God who is good all the time, who is in charge, who is in control, and it is not me. And then number three, I give myself 100% to that God. I come to submit to Him completely, totally, 100% without reservation. So I admit, I give up trying to control the universe. I give up trying to control the world. I give up trying to control you. I give up trying to manipulate circumstances. I give all that up. I realize I'm powerless. The more I try to control you, the more troubled I'm going to be. The more I try to manipulate the world around me, the more distressed and worried and anxious I'm going to be. So I got to give that up. That's the first thing. I got to give that up. I got to acknowledge that there is a God who is in charge. It is not me, in that He is by nature good. He doesn't want me to be harmed. He doesn't want me to be troubled. He doesn't want me to be disturbed. He wants me in fellowship with Him. And so I submit to Him. I say, okay, I give up. I will turn it over to you. And I will live for you. That's where we find peace. Jesus says, I do not give to you as the world gives. You see, the world doesn't offer this kind of peace. The world says that this type of peace is found in stuff, that it's found in power, that it's found in prestige. The world tells us that peace and happiness and joy and contentment is found not in spiritual things, but in things of this world. The whole advertising and marketing industry, my apologies to any marketing majors, is built around the generation of this feeling. You got to have stuff, right? You got to eat at this restaurant. You got to drive this car. You got to wear these clothes. You got to carry this purse. You've got to wear these shoes. You got to have this stuff. And then you'll be happy. Then you'll be joyful. Then you'll be content. Well, the problem is we get that stuff. Well, then we're told we got to have more stuff. And then we got to have a place to put the stuff. And then we got to buy insurance to protect the stuff. We got to buy a security system to keep somebody else from getting the stuff. And then we get credit cards and we spend money that we don't have to buy the stuff to impress the people we don't really like anyway. I mean, come on. Don't you see that? Jesus says, I don't give to you as the world gives. The world does not offer this peace. Only Jesus. Only Jesus gives peace. Only Jesus gives real peace, real happiness, real joy, and real contentment. So I give up control. I acknowledge God. I submit myself to Him. And then comes what we call growth. Then comes what we call maturity. The process, the big word is sanctification. It's this process by which God's Spirit makes us more like Jesus each and every day. It enables us to say, "Thy will, not mine, be done," on a daily basis. It enables us to endure the money or the lack of money, the job or lack of job, the sickness, the hardship, the difficulty, death. It enables us to endure all of those terrible situations that the brokenness of the world will throw at us with peace. Because if my peace is in Jesus, it's not determined by anything going on around me. Are y'all with me? Making sense? I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm not going to get into this passage much. This is the passage that our life groups will be unpacking tonight as they meet from Philippians chapter 4. I used to read these words of Paul. Folks, I used to preach on this text and I didn't really have a clue as to what it meant. I'm ashamed to say that. But I did. Beginning in verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious, troubled about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Here we go, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I've preached that text and never knew what that peace was. Sounded good. It preached well, most of the time. Probably would have preached better if somebody else had been presenting it, but whatever. But I never experienced it. I didn't know what that peace was because I spent my whole life trying to control things to make them be as I wanted them to be. If you're a football fan, you've heard the name Junior Seau, played for the San Diego Chargers for 13 years. Made the Pro Bowl 12 times, was also selected to the NFL's all-decade team for the 1990s. But on May the 2nd, 2012, at the age of 43, Junior Seau took his own life. His death stunned the community who adored him for his service, for his outgoing personality. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, his former teammate and friend, Rodney Harrison, explains that in his last days, he was desperately searching for peace. Harrison said, "He would tell me that the only time he truly felt at peace was when he was with his children or in the surf. He would say, 'When I'm on those waves, it's the greatest feeling. I have no worries, no stress, no problems. I just forget about everything.'" Junior was always searching for peace. As successful in his profession as anyone could be, as famous, arguably, as anyone in that profession could be, and probably as wealthy as any professional athlete could be, yet he was searching for peace and ultimately took his own life because he couldn't find it. Folks, we don't find peace in success or fame. Peace comes by resting in Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're troubled. Come to me. he said. And I will give you rest. Back to John 16. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Whatever it is that is robbing you of joy today, whatever it is that's eating at your conscience, whatever it is that is disturbing your soul, Jesus has already overcome. Jesus can give you peace. So what is it that's troubling you today? And be honest. Come on, folks. Be honest. Be real. I'm not asking you to confess it. I'm just asking you to acknowledge it within yourself. So at least be real with you. You know, you come here and you spend some time here. Let's at least make it worthwhile. Be real. What is troubling you today? Is it that homework assignment? Is it that professor? Certainly not in the Department of Engineering. But what is it? Seriously, what is it? Is it work? Is it money? Is it family? Is it health? On two different occasions after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples and he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." This is perhaps the most important thing I'm going to say in this message, and here it is. It is the presence of the resurrected Jesus in our lives that gives us peace. Amen? It is the presence of the resurrected Jesus in our lives that gives us peace. Not the peace that the world offers. Because the world doesn't really offer anything. But it's this peace that Paul says transcends all understanding. The New Living Translation says it exceeds anything we can understand. Listen to it from the Message. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. If I am connected to Jesus, I am going to know his peace. Quite simple. If I'm connected to Jesus, I'm going to know his peace. It's not about, have I been dunked in the baptistry? It's not about, is my name on the roll in the office? It is about connection. Am I connected? Am I connected to Jesus? If I am, worry, anxiety, and fear will not dominate my life. Peace will. Some of you read the devotional Jesus Calling. I want to share with you just a little snippet of that devotional from today. It says, "You inhabit a fallen, disjointed world where things are constantly unraveling around the edges. Only a vibrant relationship with me can keep you from coming unraveled too." So my question is, do we have that vibrant relationship with the one who can keep us from becoming unraveled? When we're faced with the troubles, the hardships, and the difficulties of this world, if I am connected to Jesus, I will know his peace. Danny's going to come and lead us in another song. If you're here this morning and you're curious as to what all this Jesus talk is about, we'd like to talk with you further. We would love to open the Bible, open God's Word, and see what it says about who Jesus was and is. Maybe you believe that Jesus was the crucified Son of God, but you've never really done anything else beyond that intellectual belief. Maybe you're ready to put on the Lord in baptism and acknowledge to the world that you want to be a part of Team Jesus and live for Him. I'd love to help you with that. Or, as is likely the case, you are here and you're troubled about something going on in your life, in your world, and you need someone that has a shoulder you can cry on. You need someone who will put their arms around you and not judge you. You need someone that will pray with you, pray over you, and pray for you. And that is the invitation this morning. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are burdened, who are troubled, and I will give you rest." Would you come as we stand and as we sing?